Messages.
The Messages, a podcast of First Baptist Church of Laurel, Maryland, teaching you to love God, love our neighbors, and love the nations. Here's Pastor Brent Brewer.
We're in our series, Best Sermon Ever, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. And we're going to look at these first six verses, and then we're going to also look at verse 12. Out of respect to the Word of God, could I ask you please to stand as I read? Jesus says this, "Do not judge so that you won't be judged, for you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others. You'll be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the splinter out of your eye,' and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? Hypocrite. First take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs. They will trample them under their feet, turn, and tear you to pieces." And then if you notice down in verse 12, it says this, "Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them, for this is the law and the prophets." You can be seated. Hey, last week, I asked some of our kids over in Power Up, if they would, to what does this passage of Scripture mean to you? And so I got some drawings for you. This is what they drew. And I love this one because, you know, it's so direct. Like, your eye has a log in it, all right? So I don't know who drew that. They did a great job. Here's another one. Yeah, isn't that good? And the eyes are so like, you know, I love the eyes, right? Eyes watching. And so I appreciate the kids doing that. You know, for modern people, it's probably easy to have a love-hate relationship with this passage. Like, on the one hand, modern people are going to love what it says in verses 1 through 5. Don't judge. Don't judge other people. Like, we love that as modern people. Live and let live. Like, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. My life is my life. Your life is your life. There was a guy in a 70s band called The Doors. It was interesting. I mentioned this in the first service. One of the guys in the first service said one of his best friends is one of The Doors. He lives in Howard County. But this is a famous band, and this guy's name was Jim Morrison. Here's what he said about his vision for friendship. "A true friend is a friend who lets you have total freedom to be yourself. Whatever you happen to be feeling at the moment is all right with them. That's what real love amounts to, letting a person really be what they are." You know, with that definition, we as modern people like Jim Morrison love to hear things from Jesus like, don't judge other people. But you know, if you look at your Bibles in verse 6, Jesus then calls some people pigs and dogs. Like, for example, if you go back a little further in Matthew, he's speaking specifically to the scribes and Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites, sons of the devil, whitewashed tombs, another animal reference, you brood of vipers. You know, you look at all that and you have to ask yourself, is Jesus speaking out of both sides of his mouth? Like, don't judge, yet some people are pigs and dogs. You know, what's interesting, like, as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus brings together his followers and the religious leaders of the day, one of the things that he talks about most is relationships. Like, how important it is that we relate to other people. Like, this is important because if you think back to, like, when you were a child, and I know some of you in here today are children right now, but for some of you, if you think back to when you were a child, and I know for some of you, like, it's been decades, right? But I just want you to take a moment, and I want you to think back. Do you remember a parent or a teacher or a pastor who said these words to you? You need to be careful who you spend time with. You know, why would they say that? Because you and I become like the people we spend time with. Show me a person's friends, I will show you what they're really like. You know, if nobody ever said those words to you, were other people talking about you. You were the one that no one was supposed to spend time with, right? But if you're a parent, like, you told your kids this. But as an adult, we kind of minimize the company that we keep and the influence they have on us. You know, tomorrow, many of you are going to go to work, and you're going to go in, and someone is going to come into your office or where you work, and they're going to be grumpy. Like, you know exactly who at your office is grumpy. You can already see them. You're thinking right now, I bet they're grumpy right now. All right? And what does that grumpiness do when they come in? What tends to happen a lot of times is then you get grumpy. Like, if somebody, like, has a fight with their spouse before work, they're kind of amped up. Like, you get a little amped up. Like, have you ever noticed how if you had a really good day at work or just a good day period, like, how that affects your evening? It makes your evening a little bit better, doesn't it? Everything's a little happier. Like, when your favorite team wins a game, you wake up and you're like, yeah, Duke, we're still good at basketball, right? We still got it. None of you like that, I know. All right, so I just isolated myself, all right? We minimize the impact that relationships have on our lives. You know, it's important for us to understand, like Jesus could have talked about anything in the Sermon on the Mount, but he spends the majority of his time talking about relationships. Like you and I, we have relationships that are difficult. Some of you have people you are related to that are hard to get along with, right? They're hard to love. They make the same dumb decisions over and over and over again. And you just keep watching and you're like, when are they going to figure this out? How do they not know? Like, you work with people who are late. You can't count on them. They do sloppy work. They're doing half their job, right? But here's the funny thing about all those relationships. You have people in your life that think about you the same way. I know what you're thinking. No, I don't. There's no one in my life right now who thinks I am not dependable, that I'm sloppy, that I'm late, that I'm difficult to love. No one. But you do. And we're in church right now, so you can all just kind of like hug yourselves, all right? And say, like, we do, like I do. If you're married, there's a chance you're married to someone who's difficult at times. Do you have kids? It's hard. It's difficult sometimes to love your kids. Why? What's interesting about relationships is this. Someone said it this way. The reason they are hard is because relationships are the intersection of the stories of two people, and the problem is an awful lot of carnage takes place at that intersection. What happens is that you're broken. You have a history. You have a story. You have relational pain and emotional pain. You have all these kinds of things in your life that make who you are today. But guess what? They also have those things in their life. And when the two of you meet, there can be a lot of carnage. Jesus says in Matthew 7, he's going to lay out three different ways that we can relate to people. Jesus is trying to answer this question. How do we experience wholeness and joy and happiness? And relationships are an enormous part of that. Like, relating to another person is an enormous part of the joy that we experience. You do realize, I'm sure, that in church, relationships are very important. You realize that, right? Like, I hate to say that. Like, it's sad for me to say this, but there are people that will stay in church that the church does not preach good doctrine. And they'll sit in that church, and they'll say, I'll stay in that church that preaches bad doctrine as long as I'm with my friends. But you let one of those friendships go awry, you can preach the greatest doctrine, you can love Jesus, you can turn the world upside down, and they're like, well, if that person doesn't speak to me, I'm out of there. See, relationships in our lives are so important, and they are so important in the life of a church. It's a community of Christians. It's that important. So three ways. Here's the first way we can judge people. We can judge people. You saw this in verse 1 where it says, do not judge so that you won't be judged. Like, this is probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. Like, how many times have you heard someone in our culture say, don't judge me? Like, don't judge me. Like anytime like there's a conflict between like Christians on TV, one of them says, didn't Jesus say like we're not supposed to judge? And here's what we do when we throw this up to people. Many times when we say, don't judge me, what we're saying is, I know I'm doing something dumb. I just don't want you to tell me about it. I mean, that's a common response. We're like, hey, I know I'm wrecking my life, but could you just be quiet? We don't want to say that to people, but there's a part of us that says, man, just don't judge me, man. Don't judge me. But Jesus doesn't stop there. I want you to notice what he says in verse 2. He says, for you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Let's be honest for a second. We are really good at judging other people. Here's how I know that. I want you to think about the last time you judged someone on social media today. Today. All right? Some of you judge people when you came in here today. Like, look at them. Who do they think they are? It doesn't even need to be yesterday. Someone posts a beautiful meal on Instagram, and you're like, I bet that meal is fake. Like, it's probably like a picture from a magazine. There's no way that turns out that way. I mean, if you have kids, like, when was the last time you were in a school setting and you judged another parent? Like, I can't believe they let their kids act like that. I can't believe she would let her kids dress that way. I mean, do those kids, like, what's wrong with them? Do they, like, dress themselves? Like we judge. We judge other people's marriages. Like, he is such a jerk. Like, did you see that? I can't believe they let their kids, like, watch that and get away with that. But Jesus says, whatever standard you put on other people, that's your standard. That's your standard. And what Jesus is trying to do, he's trying to help us, like, extend generosity in how we see other people. Because you and I are, like, really good at finding out other people's faults. Like, I've met even some Christians. Like, I think this is their spiritual gift. Their spiritual gift is judging other people, you know. And I see them, and they're coming on, you know. I see this all the time. You know, someone will come up to me, and they'll say, well, I'm here. I love your church. But let me tell you about my last church. That pastor's a bum. And, you know, as soon as somebody says that to me, you know what's going through my mind, right? How long is it going to take till they say, Brewer's a bum? All right, is it going to be 2 weeks, a month, 6 months? Because you hang around me long enough, you're gonna see some things and find things in me that you may not like. We are really good at finding other people's faults. But here's also, we are really good at extending grace to ourselves. Like, just take being late, for example. Like, if we took a poll in here, half of you would think that being late is, like, one of the worst sins that anyone could ever commit. Some of you think that. Others of you are like, why be on time? It'll start when I get there. And here's what happens. When someone is late, when you're late, here's what you do when you're late. I overslept. But hey, I'm here. Traffic. Do you know like what the traffic is like out there? Like, I got behind a bus. It was 9:45 at night. Why is there a bus out on the road? We have all kinds of excuses, and we expect grace. But when somebody else is late, we're like, can I count on you? Clearly, I'm not a priority in your life. Because if I was a priority in your life, you'd be 5 minutes early. We extend, like, so much grace to ourselves. And Jesus says, what if your interactions and my interactions, what if we extended that kind of grace to other people? And then in verses 3-5, if you notice it, Jesus gives a silly illustration. He says, imagine, like, you got a log, like, coming out of your face. Here I am, I'm walking around. I got this log out of my face. But I'm looking around this log, and I see, like, you. I see some of you, barely. And you've got this little speck in your eye. And I can see your speck. And man, I'm going to magnify your speck because I can see it. I thought about preaching like this the whole time. Could I do that? Just keep holding this log up this whole time? But see, I don't see the log. All I see is I see your speck. And man, I'm going to magnify that speck, and I'm going to make that speck a really, really big deal. And you're like, listen, dude, why are you looking at my speck? You got a log coming out the side of your head. I'm like, I do? Like, I don't see it. I don't see any log. All I see is the speck that you have. Now, let me just say this. Have you ever had a speck in your eye? You ever had some dust in your eye, man? If you have a speck in your eye, like you know you have a speck in your eye. You don't need someone to tell you. And what do you do if you have a speck in your eye? You start to what? Flush it out with water, maybe? I don't do that. I just stick my finger in there, right? But don't do that, kids, all right? And then sometimes when you're trying to get the speck out, you maybe there's a tear. Now, none of the guys have tears, I know, but it's speck dust tears, right? It's permissible, right? They aren't real. We don't need someone to tell us we have a speck in our eye. But we like to look at everybody else's speck, and they're like, listen, bro, I want to tell you right now, you got a log coming out of your face. But here's the funny thing about the log. The person with it doesn't know they have it. Like, how many times have you been in somebody's life and you're thinking, how do you not see this? How do you not know? How do you not see this blind spot? It's right there. We all can see it. And Jesus uses this illustration about how we need to see ourselves clearly. And I think this is one of the main points he's trying to get across. When I see me clearly, I can see you rightly. When I see me clearly, I can see you rightly. Here's what we do in relationships. We'll take marriage. The man or woman with a log goes like this. And guys, if you do this, you're in big trouble. All right. If you say things like, you always, you never, like those are log statements. Those are blind spot statements. See, the longer that you and I live with a log in our eye, the more it just like becomes natural. When I was a kid, like we had a car, and I got a picture of the car up here. It's kind of like this. Do any of you remember that? Yeah, like wood panel on the sides. That was it, man. What I love to do is like there was all those seats, but in the back, you know, the seat was reversed. Do you remember that? That was my seat. Now if I sat back there, I'd get dizzy, all right? But I love sitting like in that back seat, looking out that back window and making faces at the people behind me and the other cars. But I shouldn't even tell you this part, but it's kind of fun. This car was my grandparents' car, and my grandfather was a mortician. So you can imagine what this vehicle carried before we got it, right? Like that explains a lot. But you know, one of the things like about this particular vehicle was like intermittently the windshield wipers would not work. And there'd be like this downpour, and my dad would hit for the wipers to come on and like nothing. And then other times it was fine. And so what my dad decided to do was we got this furniture pad, and we put it in the back seat. And anytime the windshield wipers weren't working, he'd say, Brent, get out there. And so I'd take this big furniture pad and lay it on the windshield, wipe it off, jump in, and then we drive another half mile, then we have to do it again. But you know, like, we should have just got those fixed, right? What was our problem? I don't know. All right. But sometimes dad would just drive with all the water on the windshield. And he would look, and he would kind of like find a little crack where he could see through. You know, we get good at that because we were used to it. You know, it becomes natural for us to like walk with a log sticking out of our face. It just becomes part of who we are. But Jesus says when you're able to see yourself clearly, you're able to extend generosity and grace. Why? Because you know before I'm able to deal with the speck in your eye that's there, I've got to deal with my own first. I mean, what would our relationships like look like if you and I extended that kind of generosity to other people? Like, how would like our patience change and our interactions change? I mean, think about the last argument or disagreement you had. Was it all about them? All about the tiny little speck, the minuscule speck that you can see, and you're just like blown away. You're blown away at their speck while you're headbutting them with the log sticking out of your head. I mean, if you just stop in verse 5, it's easy to take these words and say, well, I guess I should never say anything. I guess I should just deal with myself. But there's a second way he says how we ought to deal with people. He says, second of all, we can be naive with people. We can be naive with people. He says, don't give what's holy to dogs. Toss your pearls before swine. They'll trample them. Jesus is saying this to help us in how we interact with people, to not be naive. Let's be honest. Many of us need a whole lot more wisdom in our interactions with other people. Jesus, again, he's calling us. We rightly see ourselves. When we clearly see ourselves, we're able to see others rightly. We're able to know whether or not, like, I should be in that relationship. You see, any time that there's a broken place in a relationship, an argument, a disagreement, a hurtful word, a look given, you know the look, don't you? You ever been given the look? There's a gap into that relationship. And when there's a gap in that relationship, we can put one of two things into that gap. We can either put trust in that gap, or we can put suspicion in that gap. And we've been taught to put suspicion in the gap. We've been betrayed. We've been abandoned. We've been lied to. We've been abused. We've had people walk out on us and stab us in the back. We're going to heap suspicion into that gap. But when we see ourselves rightly, we're able to put trust into that gap. We're able to give the benefit of the doubts. We're able to say, I think I heard this, but maybe they meant something else. Maybe they didn't mean what I think they meant. Like many of us have relationships, we can't put trust in the relationship. It's unwise to put trust in that relationship. Wisdom does call us to create boundaries in relationships. Do you know that? There are people that you are related to that you need to have a boundary with because they're unsafe, they're unwise, they're wrecking their life. There are people that maybe you'd never let your kids be alone with. They're not trustworthy. Do you know what's amazing? Over and over in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is equated to love. See, in our culture, many times we say, well, you need to love everybody, or that's not very loving. Are you being loving to that person? But wisdom we see is like something different. But wisdom is equated to love. How do you love someone? In a way that's wise, in a way that you have understanding. You know, if we would just say this to ourselves over and over, like over and over, like for the next week or two, like, I don't know. You know, so-and-so didn't look at me at church. They usually smile at me. They didn't smile today. What's wrong with them? They must have a bad attitude toward me. Well, maybe. Maybe they just ate something bad for breakfast. I don't know. You know, my relative was real short with me on the phone. What did I do? Did they not like the gift I bought them? I don't know. I think we need a whole lot of I don't knows in our life instead of rushing to judgment. Rushing to conclusions, rushing to say, well, this is how this goes, and I saw the look on their face, and I saw what the, I don't know what that means. You know, the older and older that I get, I find out the less and less I really know. Like, I thought I knew everything when I was like 20. Now I'm whatever age I am, I'm not going to tell you. I don't know. We need a lot of that in our life instead of jumping to conclusions. I don't know. Well, it seemed to be. Yeah, there you go. It seemed to be. It wasn't definite. It wasn't absolute. So we need wisdom and love in our relationships. And you know what? It's okay to create boundaries. There was a guy in our church. He was talking to me a couple weeks ago. And as we were talking, he's the sweetest guy, and he attends the first service. He's like one of the nicest guys in our church. He was working on a project with someone, and he was trying to help his coworker. And he says, "Excuse me," he says, can I help you with that?" And she turned to him. This is a professional environment now. She turned to him and she says, "Blankety blank blank blank." She just like cursed him out. And he's like, and everyone at his job knows that he's a Christian. They know he's a Christian. So they're all watching him like, what's he going to do? How's he going to respond? Is he going to make a big deal out of this? Is he going to look all rattled? And he goes, all these people are watching. He says, you know what? He says, I didn't do anything. I didn't respond. He says, but I began to think in my heart, how can I extend an olive branch to her? He goes, she's a nasty person. She's nasty to everybody in the office. He goes, and everybody talks behind her back. But I thought, how can I extend an olive branch? You see, how could he do that? He understood that there's something together. There's love and wisdom working together. That's what we need in our relationships. Man, we need a bucket load of love, and we need a bucket load of wisdom. But it's okay to create some boundaries. Here's the third thing that I want to look at this morning. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be treated? Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do the same for them. This is the law and the prophets. Like, we know this is like the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. It doesn't say do to others before they do it to you. All right? But I want to focus on the first part a little bit, because here's what's amazing about this verse. The first part says, whatever you want others to do for you. I want to ask you this. How do you want other people to treat you? A lot of you would say, I want to be treated better than the way I am. That's for sure. Like, many of us, like, don't know how we want other people to treat us. Like, think about how many people in our world allow other people to treat them with disrespect. We stay in friendships way past their time. We allow family members and friends to heap guilt and shame and regret on us, and we carry it. Why? You're like, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to take whatever they give me. No, you're not. Like, how do you, when you see yourself rightly in the eyes of God, want people to see you? And the problem with this verse isn't how we treat other people. It's that we don't know the first part. We can't actually treat other people the way we want to be treated because we don't understand how we want them to treat us. I mean, honestly, up until a year ago, I had never thought about this first part. I'd hear the golden rule, like, you know, I should be nicer than I am. I shouldn't be a jerk. I should bend over backwards for people and let them, you know, do whatever they want. But how do you want to be treated when you're seeing yourself rightly with the log in your eye? I would venture to say probably generously, compassionately, graciously. I mean, nobody's signing up for tough love, are they? You want to give that, though, 10 times 10 to people. But think about it for a minute. How do you want to be treated? In your marriage? At work? By your kids? In your friendships? Are you treating other people that way? See, Jesus, he's calling us to relate more graciously and generously and compassionately than we do. More merciful, more long-suffering. Because everyone is dealing with a log sticking out of the side of their face. And they're still there. So what would it look like in your relationships? Maybe for you, one of your first steps is figuring out how I want people to treat me. What kind of respect do I want other people to treat me with? Do you realize this? There are certain words that should be off limits for people to say to you. Like, what does wisdom in this relationship call me to? And then you're able to figure out how to extend grace to someone else. Listen, I know as we walk around this world, we have these huge logs sticking out of the front of our face. Our spouse has that speck. Our boss has that speck. Our friends. Those are big, big deals. I know. But until you're able to see yourself clearly, we are not able to see others rightly. See, Jesus is calling us to generosity in relationships. And here's the amazing thing when it comes to living out the calling of God in your life. If you relate to people with generosity that Jesus is calling us to, it's so different than how everybody else relates to people. It's not about what I can get out of you. It's not about even what's wrong with you. It's about the generosity that God has extended for us. Who's it for you? You know, more than likely, it's the person that I talked about when you were in a difficult relationship. Maybe you can extend grace to them this week by stop pointing out the speck in their life. Maybe it's time for you to start inserting trust again in that relationship instead of suspicion. Like, is there a log? Like, what's the log sticking out of your face? You say, well, I have no idea what it is. The people sitting beside you would be happy to tell you. If you would say to someone sitting beside, hey, what's the log sticking out of my face? You know what they'd probably say? Thank you for asking. I've been dying to tell you for years. See, that's how we move forward in relationships. That's how we experience wholeness. See, it's important for us to understand, Jesus isn't saying, by no means is it wrong to ever correct anybody. You know, take Jim Morrison. I'm going to put his picture up. This is the guy I quoted at the beginning of the sermon who said, a true friend is a friend who someone gives life, gives you the total freedom to be yourself. You know what happened to Jim Morrison? He died tragically of a drug overdose. Perhaps if more people had intervened in his life, it would help with his self-destructive behaviors and patterns. You know, it's just like another way that Psalms and Proverbs say this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Let a brother strike me if he needs to. It would be a kindness if he does it with gentleness. See, that's what deep Christian community is all about. You know, we come in here, we see each other. Hey, how are you? How's your week? Superficial. Like, how many people are really that come into churches all over, gospel preaching churches, Bible preaching churches? How many people are really involved in the lives of other people? They know their struggles, they know their difficulties, they know their challenges. You're like, well, nobody's going to know that about me. Well, listen, my friend, God already knows. He knows that and a whole bunch more. If we are truly brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be cultivating deep community among other brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, let's not be the kind of church that just people come in and people come out and nobody knows us. Nobody knows our name. They're just glad we came, right? I'm quoting Cheers, right? Some of you have no idea what that is either. We have to have deep community as brothers and sisters in Christ. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And listen, let's stop judging people based on their cover. We don't know what God is doing with that person's story. You see, the moralists and the Pharisees would come along in Jesus' time, and they were to divide people like this. These are the good people and these are the bad people. Sometimes we can do that. These are the good people and these are the bad people. And Jesus says, don't you dare do that. You don't know who's good. You don't know who's bad. That's up to me. I'm the one who's going to decide that. What you're to do is you're to come and you're to figure out who are the humble and who are the proud. And the proud are us. We're Exhibit A. So we need to look at the log in our own eye first. So if you're disposed to judge and punish and feel superior to someone else, man, get that log. Look beyond it. Get that log out of our eye first and see how God is working in someone else's life. Listen, you can sit around and you can get faults on anybody. Take me for an example. I could sit up here and we could go around the room and I could probably hear about 150 faults of things that I've done. And you're like, yeah, and he's this, and he's that, and he's that. All the while, you've got a log sticking out of your eye. You might say, well, you got a log too. Okay, we both have logs. But how do you want to be treated? How do you want to be treated? I think I want more than anything else, like, to be understood, to be treated with compassion and generosity and graciousness. See, it's interesting that Jesus came and he sent his only son and he gave us grace. He said that we were his enemies and he sent his son. Do you have a son? I got a son. Am I sending my son to die for any of your sins? I don't think so. But God sent his only son to die for our sins, who we were his enemies. And when we place our trust and confidence in him, he then calls us his friends. Isn't that great? Enemies to friends. And surely if God has forgiven me, surely I can forgive someone else. Surely I can be generous with them, compassionate, gracious with them.